Chair Baron, the floor is yours.
Welcome, everybody, to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. Today is January 19th. It is 6 p.m. We'll be holding this meeting via teleconference due to the COVID-19 pandemic and Executive Order 929-20. If you are watching this via your cable, there on the agenda that is posted on the city's website, you can find telephone numbers, which you can use to call in and post public comment. If you are on the Zoom meeting, you can also raise your hand during the public comment period, and AGP Mr. Zeke will buzz you in and we will get your comments heard. Please, we want to encourage public participation, and anything we can do to accommodate, please let us know. I guess I should have established a quorum and called this meeting to order before I did all that, but a little bit out of order. So I'll establish this a quorum. We have four out of our five commissioners present, and we do have a quorum, and we'll call the meeting to order. I suppose I should start with planning commissioner announcements.
I'll have something at the end.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'm at the beginning. I know we're sort of operating differently in our Zoom world, but one of the things we haven't been doing is a moment of silence, which is okay. But I was thinking today about what was happening in the Capitol and sort of the acknowledgement of over 400,000 Americans dead and over 2 million worldwide, and that maybe, and I think also our hopes for a peaceful transition of power tomorrow. So maybe a moment of silence would be a good thing this evening, especially given a short agenda. we maybe have a moment for that.
Of course. Let's have a moment of silence before we start our meeting. Okay, hopefully that was long enough moment. Moving on, we'll go to presentations. Seeing public consent calendar. You're right. We'll open the meeting for public comment. This is the time in the meeting where folks that wish to comment on items not on the agenda or cannot wait to hear the presentation and comment during the public comment period that we will have during the items being considered. This is the time you can speak. Please make yourself known to AGP somehow, some way. Raising your hand would be appropriate in the Zoom world, or if you want to call in and let yourself be known, this is the time.
And Chair Boron, there's nobody with their hands raised, but I might remind people that if they do want to raise their hand, it's *9 on the phone, and on a phone, it's *9 or *6, excuse me, and then on the cell phone, there's just a little button that they push.
Very good. Thank you for that, Zeke. Going once, going twice. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to our item A, the consent calendar, current advanced planning process list, and approval of minutes from the Planning Commission meeting October 20th, and the approval of the minutes from the Planning Commission meeting from November 4th. Do we have anything we want to pull, or do we have a motion?
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that. Okay, I have a motion and a second.
Do you want me to call it?
Yeah, Scott, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucas?
Yes.
Vice Chair Baron?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Moving on to B, item B, public hearings. Seeing none, we'll move on to item C, new business. We have item C1, review and presentation for the Morro Bay to Cayucas Connector Trail, an approximate 1 mile class one multi-use trail along the west side of Highway 1 between the communities of Morro Bay and Cayucas. This new segment will be part of the California Coastal Trail and includes five bridges, retaining walls, and connects with existing bike paths to the north and south. And Scott's going to take over from here.
Thank you, Commissioner Barone. With us this evening, we have Elizabeth Cavanaugh with the county, and she'll be presenting the item before you this evening. We also have Steve Kahn, who is the county's consultant engineer who prepared the plans for the project, and I guess they will both be providing portions of the presentation. With that, I'll turn it over to Elizabeth.
You're muted, Elizabeth.
Sorry about that. Hi there, I'm Elizabeth Cavanaugh. I'm with County Parks. I'm having a moment, a technological moment here, if you bear with me. I need to get my PowerPoint up. And Steve Kahn is here also, and he's the engineer with Canon, and he's going to answer any technical questions we may have. And let me get started. I think I'm almost there. Share. Can you see my PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me go full screen. Thank you, and sorry about that. So we're here to talk about the Morro Bay to Cayucas Connector. Can you hear me? Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. I'm here to talk about the Morro Bay to Cayucas Connector Trail. This is a site of a good shot of where we foresee this trail going. It's kind of along the curve of the coast between Morro Bay and Cayucas. It's a 1 mile new section of trail that along Dog Beach that will connect Morro Bay to Cayucas. It will be 12 feet wide, and there'll be a new section between Toro Lane and Studio Drive. There'll be a 200 foot long bridge across Toro Creek and three or four smaller bridges. We're not quite sure of that number just yet. We'll be improving signage and striping on the connecting bike trails in Morro Bay and Cayucas. And it will be a new segment of the California Coastal Trail. I wanted to show you kind of the vision here. The blue line is the starting of this trail. Starts in Cloisters and runs along Sandalwood Avenue along the existing bike routes within the city of Morro Bay, and then along Beachcomber, up Yerba Buena, and then along Toro Creek. Now, this little red parenthesis mark is where the start of the new construction will be. So it starts at the North Point Natural Area at the end of Toro Lane. And here you see it picking up here. We go across the Toro Creek Bridge, the pier here, all along the sand bluffs until we hit Cayucas Studio Drive. There it continues on to Cayucas. You can choose to take this western part that will put you at 24th Street Beach, or you can choose to cross the bridge at Old Creek Road, across the highway, and then move on to downtown Cayucas from there. Here's a shot of the actual part, the new construction part. Here we start at the North Point Natural Area. We're down below the freeway in this area, this blue line being the new constructed trail. Up around here where the pier is, we come more closer to the freeway level, and then we cross. There will be a small separation between freeway and trail here. We'll have there's our big bridge. Here's another pedestrian access to the beach access. Here's another beach access. These are the ones that are currently there. We're going to honor those and ride along the sand bluffs here till we hit Studio Drive. here's some sections of what the path will look like. If you know the area, you know that it's varied terrain there. So we're using a couple different path sections. This being our Sound Bluffs easy level section, as you can see, there's 6 foot wide lanes. There's some blocks, I guess you would just call them, I don't know, flush curbs right here. And then we would have some sloping off depending on the terrain. And here's our tougher, closer to between the pier and the North Point natural area, where we're going to have to do some retaining walls and build up that trail. As you can see, here's a little section of where that guardrail will have to be. This is one of our more complicated sections. So other than the 1 mile new section that we'll be constructing with this project, there will be improvements to the existing bike routes. They'll be, we'll be working with the city of Morro Bay to determine what they'd like to see, whether there's some additional painting or sharrow marking, or we definitely would like to see some wayfinding signs along that route, and then also along all these other streets that may see improvements. So where is this project? It's been around forever. I've been at County Parks for about 8-9 years, and I've been working on it all along. It's been a slow process. It was held up by land acquisition was a challenge. As you can see, we've gotten through that, and I'm sure you know that the county took on a chunk of this trail section, I guess, for lack of a better word. So we have been through design, we're through environmental, both CEQA and NEPA, and we're almost through land acquisition, as I believe the city's still working towards concluding that purchase for that southern section of the trail easement. We're moving forward, going into permitting and then funding this trail. It'll cost about $6 million. So that is something that we're working towards. And then also finally construction. We guess it will be about a year to construct. Funding, we have applied for a grant. The active transportation grant. So we're hoping maybe we'll get that funding this year. And if we do, we'll hopefully construct around 2023 or 2024. So we have had a few changes over the years, and I just wanted to highlight a few of them. This one I thought was important for Morro Bay. The trail originally planned to come along here, along Toro Lane, and it was in Caltrans right away here. And there was a fair amount of retaining walls and needed to get up to that level. And so after discussions with the city of Morro Bay and our engineers, we thought that it was wiser to put it on the inside of Toro Lane on the existing road that's there, and then ramp up here separated from the pedestrian access. We're going to keep that separate, that to get to the beach access here, ramp around, and then go back on that old remnant road. If you're familiar with this area, there's an old road base right there. So then we'll travel along there. So that's one of the changes. The next one is, and I don't know what happened to this graphic, but I'm not sure if you are familiar, but there was supposed to be a fair amount of guardrail and guard fencing along North Point Natural Area to the pier. A lot of that has gone away. It was an ornate metal, semi-transparent fence, similar to the one you see in Ventura County on the coast right there. But now that we've been able to drop down the trail, keep it further away from Caltrans, we're hoping that they'll only allow us to move forward with this guardrail, traditional type guardrail that you see, that will not block visibility of the coast. So that's a big win as far as we're concerned. Oh, there it is. So that's what what the other one looked like, what the one that we were previously proposing looked like. So it's much taller. It's, you know, you have all these vertical elements that are allowing you to see through, but it also can, it's not as clear as it would be if there wasn't any vertical elements up here. So we've been plowing away at this project for a while. It's got a lot of support. It's SLOCOG and City of Morro Bay, Caltrans. Everybody's really looking forward to seeing this project get off the ground. This project has been your number six, tied for number five as the priority projects for the citizens that's in your bike and pedestrian master plan. So this is something that I think that the people of Morro Bay also are excited about. So what's next? Well, our next step is to go forward, and we're wanting to go forward with a consolidated coastal permit because this project is straddles both City of Morro Bay and county and has Toro Creek Lane, which is original jurisdiction. It's thinking that that's our best path is to get to coastal permit for one hearing with one clear decision. So that's what we're hoping for. Part of that requirement is that we go out to the City of Morro Bay, go out to the community of Cayucas, give their public an opportunity to chime in and to bring that information forward with our coastal permit application. So that's what I would love to hear here. Again, we're plowing away with our construction drawings, and we're hoping for that grant to meet our construction funding. If we don't get that grant, we will continue looking for another grant opportunity to build this. And then finally, construction, something I really look forward to. So I'm available for questions. Steve Kahn, my engineer, is also from Canon. He's here for questions, so fire away.
Very good, Elizabeth.
I have a couple questions, if I can, Jesse.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess the thing I'm most concerned about is this idea of the fences. And when you say in the one document that you have to have a fence when you have a certain slope adjacent to the pathway, and I was noticing how close it seems you get to the kind of plateau edge, and I think it's fantastic. I totally agree with you, Elizabeth. Getting rid of that fence was fantastic. I'm not a fan of any fences. And I think a fence is a negative thing wherever it's going to occur on here. And so I just wondered, are you sure you've got the locations of those pathways near the plateau edge such that we can eliminate as many fences as possible? Because the creatures that still are going to live there go back and forth across these things all the time. Any kind of fence, even though at the cloisters I see things, people crawling through there, no people, but critters crawling through there all the time. I just want to make sure we're not creating a negative situation for the other species that are still going to be in that kind of area. So is there a fence along much of that bluff edge?
So currently there is Caltrans chain link fence that runs almost that exact, the whole length of this segment. So that fence will remain. Right. Now, the barrier, I think you might have been referring to the barrier, which was the metal barrier with the picture delayed. And so that, we right now, Caltrans is reviewing our plans to confirm that that is the path forward so that we can minimize that visual block of that barrier. And if there's any critters that make it across Highway 1 in the Caltrans fence, then they can make it across our barrier also.
I guess one of the plans I'm looking at here is you're at page 31 of 50 in the presentation, or it's sheet 8 of 12 on the technical drawings. It's the part that's just south of Studio Drive. And that one seems to get very close to the edge of the bluffs. And it seems to have been a decision to avoid some wetland issues that are there. So I just wondered, what's the trade-off between wetland reparations or whatever we have to do, restoration, versus putting the fence up along the bluff?
You want me to share my screen and I can show you the plans and we can discuss that?
Yeah.
Yes. Lucas?
Sure.
Thank you.
Let me do that. Okay. So these are the plans I have up right here. So we're going to go to that section you're talking about. May take a second because it's a fairly large drawing. Here we go. You said 8 of 12?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So as we come off Studio Drive here, these blue areas, like you said, were wetlands areas, so we're trying to avoid them. We're not going to be able to avoid all of them, so what's going to happen is we're going to work with regulatory agencies and want to mitigate our impact on these wetlands by creating other wetlands that we monitored for 5 years. So what we did is we pulled it out this way, and it made a big loop here, but it's not so close to the bank that there needs to be a fence here. So this will be very similar to this section right here that you see. We have a six-foot lane, a curb, a shoulder, and a swale on one side. That will, so there'll be no inhibition of animal crossings along this section right here.
Yeah, that was really my only concern. I walked that bluff myself on occasion, and you know, the ability to have as few improvements, quote unquote, as possible is really critical. And I think that's
absolutely
experience one of the walkers, you know.
One of the big changes that we've done, as Elizabeth talked about, is the trail for a large portion was right next to Highway 1, and it was up right up at the same elevation. Well, in my opinion, that's not a good experience for the user. So we've been pulling them down a little bit in height and away from the State Route 1, and what that did, Caltrans reduced their requirement of the type of barrier they require to more of the kind that Elizabeth showed on the screen. So I think it'll be a better experience for the user. It'll be a better experience for the vehicles on Highway 1 because there won't be that big barrier that will be blocking their view. So this section right in here, there'll be no fencing at all. But as we come through here, this is where we'll need fencing because we're pulled away from Highway 1, but we have a bank on the downhill side. So what we'll have is we'll have a fence that will go along there to keep people from falling off the edge, you know, a five-year-old that's walking down or whatever. We don't want anybody falling down the bank. But I have noted here in my notes, because what we're doing now is we're taking input from anybody that has input on these plans. We're going to try to incorporate their comments. And so what we'll look at doing is creating a fence on the downhill side or the ocean side of the trail that animals are able to get through if they're crossing the path at night or during the day or whatever it may be. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, it's just you know, the Caltrans fence already has a certain kind of inhibition or, you know, right, inhibits some movement, but I'm just concerned that when you start to create these troughs that things get stuck in somehow, you know, you're liable to have either an unfortunate confrontation between something like a raccoon coming up on somebody, yeah, hiking, jogging isn't necessarily a pleasant experience if the raccoon, yeah, can't figure out a way to get out. So I don't know what the requirements are by code, but I would make it as open and unobtrusive a fence as possible, as low as possible. So
I don't know if you'll be able to get it, but this is what we like to do in our fencing at county parks. Can you see that?
Oh, I can. I can, Elizabeth.
Can you, yes, see it?
Yes.
So yeah, it's very open. It's split rail. We like to keep it as natural and open as we can when we have to use fencing.
I guess you ever send me a picture of that too, Elizabeth? Yeah. Thank you.
The only other question I had is the nature of impact of the construction vehicles as you're on the edges of that bluff. Do you have to do anything special to accommodate the paving vehicles? And I imagine you have to do some grading there to get this exactly where you need it to be. But
yes,
how much of an impact is that?
So there's a large EIR that you may have seen on this. It's very explicit about the construction techniques and how you do it. And all of it has to do with preserving the wildlife and the vegetation in that area and the natural topography. So we have an environmental firm, SWCA, that's working with us. They just did a biological review of the whole path. That's where we have the new wetlands on there because wetlands change over time. So they'll be working with us, but we'll be trying to access as much of the construction from State Route 1 working downward so that we're not impacting, because we don't want to be sitting on the sand dunes below the path and impacting that area if we don't have to. So certainly there'll be some impact on the natural terrain, but we're definitely going to try to minimize it.
Very good, Michael. Is that all the questions you had?
I guess the only other thing is there's no capacity of this to take emergency vehicles or things like that. This is just the pedestrian and bicycle kind of weight, right?
What we've done is a 12-foot path, and as you can see on this drawing in your screen right here, there's that bridge that Elizabeth talked about. This path, this 12-foot path, will be able to take emergency vehicles or a county pickup truck that needs to do maintenance on the railing or paint something or whatever it may be. But if there's someone in the middle of this path that has a heart attack and, you know, is down and out, an ambulance will be able to go on this facility and assist them.
And you've got bollards or something that
at the ends, there'll be bollards to restrict anybody that wants to get on there. That is correct.
That's all I have. Thanks. I really like that you got it away from Route 1 and are back on the street in that southern part.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'm going to stop sharing.
Joe or Susan?
I just like, guys, this seems an excellent idea and very thoughtfully laid out. I'm very impressed. I was wondering, you know, in view of the pandemic and the decline in state revenues, do you have any inklings as to how state budgets are affected in terms of this project? Are we really talking about it being, you know, delayed for several years in terms of financing, or you don't, or if you don't have time to, you know?
I have that answer. So we passed, the state of California passed SB1 recently, which is the gas tax measure. We're all paying 12 cents more a gallon on our gas, and then vehicle registration costs have gone up. All that money goes to road and transportation projects in the state of California for Caltrans, for the county, and for the cities. Some of that money is put aside for alternative transportation for bike and ped. It's put in the ATP program, and that program is funded through those resources. So right now, the current COVID or budget problems are not affecting the funding for the ATP program. So right now, all the projects in the state of California that applied for the ATP funding are being judged. And on February 15th of this year, another month, we'll find out whether this project was funded with that money.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joe. Susan?
The only thing I wondered about is Coastal Commission reactions, responses, any issues or problems.
Elizabeth, you want to take that one?
Well, I've been in correspondence with or having conversations with Coastal Commission regarding this. Most importantly was the decision to do a consolidated coastal permit was something we talked about with them. I think this project has some challenges. We're building on a bluff and global warming, and I mean, there's some issues. Parking along Highway 1 right now is really, I mean, people are parking like crazy on that area. So, I mean, I think we do have some challenges, but I do think that this is the kind of project that Coastal Commission is going to want to see. They are generally we're not taking away any access. I think that would be their biggest challenge, is if we were limiting access to the beach, and what's there now is what we're going to either improve on or continue to allow. So I think, I don't think it'll be easy, but I think we'll get approval, and there'll be some minor tweaks that we have to make, but it'll be a long process. But I think this is, you know, in a perfect world, this is the kind of project Coastal Commission should love. So I'm going with that. There's a lot of goodwill for this project in all regulators, from Caltrans to Coastal Commission to the city of Morro Bay. Everybody really would love to see this happen.
Would it help to have a letter from the city or, you know, from the council or planning commission or
Yeah, I mean, you folks have supported us in our ATP application for the funding to construct. So, yeah, I think it would be great in my package if there was a letter from whatever entity within your organization is best to write that letter. I think it would be great.
Okay, thank you.
If I could add to Elizabeth's presentation, we've also hired a firm called TerraCosta to design the aesthetics of the walls along the bluff. And they're specialists in working in coastal areas of California, and they have approved many, many facilities in front of the Coastal Commission from an aesthetic standpoint, looking at it and being approved. So that will help us pass. It's not just going to be an ugly concrete 6-foot wall. It's going to be something that's blends in and aesthetically pleasing.
Right. And, you know, maybe we're giving our artists some mural, you know, some places to put some beautiful murals. You never know. Maybe that's something we can entertain down the road once this gets built. I had a couple questions. So the number one question I have is access. So access during construction to the beach, obviously that's going to be a concern that you're going to look at. How are you going to, are we going to phase this so that we're only, you know, sectioning or prohibiting access in one area versus another, or is it going to kind of go full blast, or how are you envisioning this to happen?
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Well, I think this is, to be honest with you, I don't know the real answer for this, so maybe Steve would be the best guy on this one, but I do think that the work from the North Point Natural Area to the Toro Creek is going to be where you're going to see a lot of the time and a lot of the major construction happening. And so there's not a whole lot of access there. There's some people accessing the beach off of that pier. But once you get past Toro Creek, it's minor grading and then laying the asphalt. So I think the bulk of the time that construction will be in place will be done on the southern part of that, where there's not a lot of access right now. And as far as I'm prepared that Coastal Commission is going to require we keep it open, at least one access within that mall, within that mile. They're going to make us keep it open during construction, so we will have to plan around that. And we're already aware of that.
Yeah, for sure, at least one. Maybe a couple access points that, you know, if people park all along that highway haphazardly, like you said, and, you know, keeping access and letting our tourists, you know, visit the beach and keep the tourist dollars coming would be well appreciated by everybody, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I
just wanted to chime in. I'm having a little bandwidth issue, so I'm going to turn the video off, but I'll be able to hear and respond.
Very good. I just have one last quick question. Actually, it was more about the construction vehicles. So, I mean, in the areas we talked about south of Studio, where we have the wetlands, and you know, there was going to be some rather significant construction. It looked like some bridges. Looks like in those areas. How are we going to be accessing the? How are the construction vehicles going to be accessing that area? Are we going to have to temporary road, or are we going to be just, you know, coming along the beach and coming up, or how do you envision that to occur?
I'll answer that, Elizabeth. So what I envision, particularly in the area south, Studio Drive to the bluff area in there, is since we're going to have to cut in a section for this 12-foot path and these curves, I would envision the construction vehicles actually driving on that as they're accessing where we're going to build the footings for the bridges. We're going to be putting in base. We're going to be laying asphalt. We're going to be building curbs. But if we had construction vehicles using that grading as they graded it, because I would want to limit, I wouldn't want them just parking all over that bluff, as we've all seen construction projects where contractors tend to park everywhere, right. Is that we actually confine them to a very specific area in their impact. And again, we'll have biological monitoring the entire time. So we want to limit the cost and impact to the environment of this project. So if contractors start driving on the wetlands and driving on the bushes and everything else, we're going to have to build more wetlands, and it's going to cost us more money. So we'll definitely have defined areas where we'll let the contractor go. We'll be required to. And I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, the SWIP and the BMPs, I imagine, on this would be just very, very, very tight. Oh, yeah. And I'm hoping, I'm imagining you guys are going to be doing an excellent job there. So just something to keep in mind. I think we'll all be having our eyes on it, and the community will have our eyes on it. So that's all the questions I have. Do we want to open it up for comments, Michael? Looks like you want to say something.
No, I just wanted to ask one more question. I don't know if there's any interpretive aspects of this, the historic aspects of the whole tank farm that was there and the old pier and the ship sunk off the coast there right at the beginnings of World War II. Is there any interpretive aspect as you go at that point where you get to the bulkhead where the pier was located to let people know that behind you was filled with the oil tanks and things like that? If there's an interpretive part of this, Coastal Commission usually likes to see things like that when there's authentic things happening, and I have no idea if there's any indigenous aspect to any of that segment. I don't, off the top of my head, I'm not aware of any, but if there would be, that would be something to think about as well. But it seems like that's kind of a pause point almost, that you've got some space there that if you're going to give people a break to look, there'd be place for sign, interpretive sign or something.
No, I think that's a good point. We hadn't planned anything like that, but this is the exact type of input that I think is worthy, and I think it's a great idea. Like, it's amazing to me. A lot of people don't even know there was a pier there at Toro Creek. In 1983, during the big storms when it got knocked out, people didn't even know it was there. So that may be even information like that. Just the history of the area is, I think, what you're getting at.
And as a park planner, I mean, that's one of the things we have joy in doing is educating and informing people. My concern about interpretive trail or interpretive panels or interpretive opportunities is that I would like to see it off of this 1 mile section, that the new construction area, because I think I really envision that as a flowing pathway where people are using it to go back and forth. And I think if we put distractions on there other than this big, beautiful ocean, I think that wouldn't fail to comparison to the view once you're riding on that trail. So my thought is, if there are some interpretive opportunities, like in the North Point Natural area and along the Studio Drive trailhead in those areas, but I don't know. I mean, I'm open to the discussion further, but I think that along that new constructed area that may detract from what I imagine to be an amazing bike ride along, above the ocean. So I'm love to hear what your thoughts are.
I tend to agree with Michael. I think that the interpretive signage there, I mean, while we're going to be getting the people actually using it for, getting back and forth from Morro Bay to Cayucas, safely on a bike, we're also going to get, Joe Sixpack tourists going, just taking that nice stroll and, just want to do a leisurely stroll and look at nice things and learn about the area. Michael's brought up a lot of times about how ecotourism is a thing we ought to be embracing here. And I think we do in Morro Bay and Cayucas. And I think educating everybody about the area's history would be a great thing. I agree with Michael.
And so I'm envisioning you guys, I think I heard you guys talking about closer to where the road curves to the north, curves up by the ocean, that we were looking at.
That's just mostly when we cross the bulkhead part of the old pier. There's bulkhead. Probably space there that, you could say, gee, this in front of you used to be a pier that goes out X number of feet and, serviced the oil industry, and you could have a picture of the hill behind it from the 50s or 40s or something, and, the housing was blacked out during the war because they were concerned about an amphibious assault on the beach, and the amphibious assault base in Morro Bay used to land. That's where they used to land to practice their own amphibious assaults, I think. So it's just the bulkhead itself, because it's such an unusual feature and has a little bit of space there. If you were going to pause, that's a natural place to get away from. You don't want to stop in the middle of the flow. I completely agree with you with that. I walk a lot of places around here, and you know, when you do stop, you almost get run over by people sometimes with the velocity and numbers of people out there walking. This is going to get an awful lot of people walking too. It's not just going to be bikes.
We hope so.
Locals are talking about this area right here.
Right.
That's yes. The bulkhead.
Yes. Yes.
And I believe the bulkhead is still being held by Chevron.
Chevron owns the bulkhead, and they own a property a couple of hundred feet to the north, the south, and then they own to the center line of Toro Creek. What they're going to do is they're going to retain that property until the bulkhead is cleaned up, because there's some old pipelines and there's probably some oil in there. So Chevron wants to clean it up before they release that property. Now, they don't have any plans to clean it up at this time. That's one of the reasons why we're in Caltrans right away. The Chevron didn't want us on their property because they had future plans to clean that bulkhead up.
I do think that there probably could be an opportunity for some interpretive signage, maybe in a view shed of the bulkhead, but I think in that actual location, that's kind of a pinch point for us because of Chevron retaining ownership right there. So I definitely think it's something we'll look at.
Very good. This seems like a natural place to pause and see if we want to get public comment. Let's look at our participants here. I don't see anybody in the attendees. Oh, there's Betty Winholz with her hand up. Zeke, is it possible to get Betty in? Zeke, are we still rolling here? Okay, Betty. Well, if you can hear us, we'll get to you as soon as we can.
I'm pushing. Betty, can you might be.
Does that work now?
Hey, there you go. Yep.
Okay, thank you. I just need that button. Just four comments. I'm aware of this project for many years, as most of you are. I did not hear the reason why you chose the west side of the highway rather than the east, just a curiosity. Earlier in the planning stages, that's number one. Number two, there was some plan for parking on Toro Lane, just as you turn off of Verba Buena. And is that any part of this at all, or has the parking down there been eliminated? Third, regarding the bulkhead that you were just talking about where the pier was, would there be a trade-off with Chevron to not clean up and let us take over that bulkhead so we can have benches and maybe some interpretive signs there? And number four, I'm kind of surprised that you're using asphalt, because I don't know how well it holds up after years of use, particularly with the kind of use it's going to get. I'm kind of surprised you're not doing a boardwalk type of thing. And just how did you come to the conclusion to use asphalt? Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Always great questions. Let's see if we have any more public comments, and then if we want to respond to Betty when we're all set, give anybody else a chance. See if you've a few more folks in the queue there. Let's give them a couple seconds to raise their hand if they want to speak. I see Ms. Ford is in there, one of our future planning commissioners we will see at the next meeting, and Commissioner Member, Council Member Heller, and then Ms. Sartain. So, all right. See no more hands. I'm sorry.
You want me to address some of those questions, Jesse?
Yeah. If you want to, let's see.
Sure. Questions. Yeah, I can't remember how long ago, but I feel like it was probably 5 or 6, 7 years ago that County Parks went out and made the determination. We kind of got a bunch of public feedback saying east or west, and the west side came out overwhelmingly. People wanted to see this trail on the west side, and I think it's obvious because of the user experience of actually being able to ride on so close to the ocean and really feeling, smelling it and hearing it. The Toro Lane parking, I don't know the answer to that. Right now, we're proposing to be on the Highway 1 side of Toro Lane. So I imagine if there was any future parking that was planned out there, that would be on the house side. So I think they could interact. I think that would be okay. But maybe Scott has a little feedback on that one. And then the trade-off with Chevron for the bulkhead as an interpretive site. Well, you're thinking like a park planner. I mean, that would be amazing, I think. I know that Chevron is required to clean that site up. We don't have any idea what their timeline is. I think that once that site is clean, there may be an opportunity to take that in as a park site. But I think I don't know what regulatory agencies require and they clean it up. But I think that's something that they're going to really want handled. And then the boardwalk versus asphalt, asphalt has been something that it's been performing pretty well for us and our other trail sites. And I think that's just why, because we've been pretty happy with asphalt on the Bob Jones and our trails down in the South County. So Steve, do you have anything to comment on asphalt versus?
I would just like to say asphalt is probably a better construction material than wood. It does have a longer life. Concrete would probably be more longer, but the problem with concrete is it's not flexible. So that's the beauty of asphalt, is it's kind of flexible and expands. If you have bricks or something that pushes stuff up, you can work around it. So I think asphalt's a good material for the project, personally.
Okay, very good. Well, do we have any planning commissioner comments? We had some questions in an answer session. Do we want to have any comments about the project?
Yeah, I say, I think it's fantastic that you've gotten rid of some of the fencing as you were talking about, and you know, it's these kind of recreation things are absolutely critical right now and in the near future, and as we look to responsibly, you know, develop some of these areas like this, I think it's been a very reasonable job, and I can support this.
Thank you.
Susan?
I would just echo Michael's comments. It's a great project.
Thank you.
Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's a terrific project. I look forward to it. I can't imagine anyone being opposed to it. I can imagine people have different priorities, and there may be some conversations about, you know, why are we doing this rather than something else, but I can't imagine anyone being opposed to it. That's it.
Thank you.
Well, people love to complain, so I'm sure someone will complain, so I won't be too surprised when I see that. But yeah, I think it's a great project. I think, you know, I live in North Morro Bay, and, you know, I spend a lot of time at Cayucas, and I just feel like we're kind of, you know, sister communities, and, you know, this will do a lot to, you know, I sometimes will do the march from North Morro Bay to Cayucas, but that's a haul. And, you know, just going on maybe a mile or two on the asphalt will be a little bit easier on the old back there. So I think it's great. I think it's going to bring our communities even closer together than we already are, which is substantial. And yeah, you guys are doing a great job, and hope we can get this thing going.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Scott, is that it? You have anything else on this?
I think that's it. I think we've got the input that was desired from this. I appreciate that. Appreciate the presentation from Elizabeth and Steve. Thank you very much.
And I'll be sure to keep you updated in our next milestone.
That'll be great. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for that.
Bye, guys.
All right, so we'll bring it back to the commission. We'll move on to item D, unfinished business. Seeing none, we'll move on to item E, planning commissioner comments, and I believe Mr. Lucas.
Yeah, well, this is, I hang up my spurs here, that it's been 12 out of the last 16 years, and I was appointed by four different councils, and I want to thank those council members that had confidence in my capability to add to the discussions here, and as we say in the teaching profession, deans come and go, but the teachers are there. So I want to thank Scott for his work. I think he's might be the fourth or fifth person in that seat since I've been on this, and I have a very high regard for him, and I appreciate the work that Cindy and Nancy, and we get things from Gina in the email, and I appreciate all their work to make things work, and certainly, you know, I didn't make this decision without having confidence in the fact that Susan and Joe and Jesse, most likely Jesse, was going to be here again. So, you know, but I do have, I had last year, 2020, an amazing 2020 planned, where I had a Fulbright award to teach and research in Central Europe, which the virus knocked out, and I had a research trip planned to Croatia, which the virus knocked out. So I've punted those to 2021, and I'm shortlisted again on the Fulbright. We'll see if that gets funded, much like the project we just took a look at here by the feds shortly, hopefully. But I'm probably going to be gone quite a bit this year, and the teaching load with putting things online is absolutely exhausting. I'm on my third course in 4 months now, and so if I've got a few bags under my eyes, it's from creating asynchronous lectures online for people to see. But it's been wonderful. I'm not gone forever. I may be back. May see me again at meetings, or if I'm still living in Morro Bay, coming back to the commission at some point, see how that works out. But I want to thank you all, and thank Scott, and thank the citizens for their continuing vigilance. I think this is a contact sport, if you will, and it counts on having citizens keeping an eye on us, and us keeping an eye on everybody else. It's a collegial thing. I've been very impressed with the dialogue with the community. For the most part, has been fantastic, and even when it's been confrontational, it's been instructive, and that's what a democracy is all about, is having these venues like this. And so I'm just thankful for you all and the staff and the citizens. It's been a great experience, and look forward to having my two Tuesdays a month back in the evening.
Very good, Joe.
Michael, I just want to say the obvious. You will be dearly missed, and a small part of your legacy for me will be, from time to time, I will think, and probably not succeed, but at least think, what would Michael say or think about this? And that will be very instructive. You will be missed.
Susan.
I'd like to say ditto to that. It's been such a great joy to work with you, Michael, and hear your perspective on things. I'm assuming you will follow all of our meetings very closely, read all the agendas thoroughly, and comment on things. And I wish you well in your coming experiences and adventures, and I hope you're able to escape and fulfill some of those dreams. So best of wishes to you.
Yeah, I can't thank you enough. I'm honored and privileged to have served with you on this commission. I learned a lot from you. I valued every comment you had. You always were very insightful and taught me a lot about what to look for architecturally and what this commission should be doing. And from the whole city, thank you, Michael, for all your hard work. And we would love to see you again. And I would love to see you again. And you bring a lot to the commission. And good luck on your travels, and yeah, please drop in on us from time to time. Okay, well, Scott, I believe the Community Development Director comments.
Yeah, thank you. I too would like to thank Michael for his extraordinary level of service he's provided to this community. It is very extraordinary, in my opinion. I certainly appreciated the amount of time that I've been working with the city to have Michael on the planning commission, and especially as it relates to all of the work that the planning commission undertook related to the general plan, local coastal program, and that is, and the zoning code update, that is not something that most folks sign up for. And having your input on that, I think, is vital for us getting through the process. I definitely appreciate all of your insights as it relates to both your historic knowledge of the city and just your knowledge of place and being. And you are always, as it relates to projects and it related to the general plan, you're always bringing those things forward. What do we need to do to make Morro Bay a better place? I've always appreciated that about you, and we'll certainly miss you on the Planning Commission. But I do wish you the best in your travels. Hopefully they all work out. I know that was definitely disappointing for you last year to have that opportunity, get it all lined up out there. You're telling me all about it, and then it all kind of blew away with the wind or with COVID, I guess. And so hopefully that all works out well for you moving forward. I have one other thing, and that's talk briefly about what's on the agenda for the next agenda. You guys will be looking at the bike park, and we'll be seating, more importantly, the new commissioners, the new chair and vice chair. So all of you give some thought to what that might look like and who you might want to be recommending for those positions. I'll probably reach out to some of you or all of you leading up to that. To assist. And with that, I think that ends my comments.
Very good. Susan.
When are we going to be looking at the EIR?
That is a great question, Commissioner Stewart. Rincon Consultants is the consulting firm that's doing that for us. They are completing the responses to comments that we received through the clearinghouse route. And once those are done, and once we have all of the edits that came out of the Planning Commission's review to Plan Morro Bay, we'll be bringing that back for you, to see those two things and make your final recommendation to City Council. I'm hoping that we'll be able to get on the phone this week with the Coastal Commission to get their some input on some of their edits they requested. And if that happens, I would imagine we'll be finalizing Plan Morro Bay next week. And so we hopefully be ready for maybe the second meeting in February, if everything goes smoothly. If not, it might not be until the first meeting in March, but right in that time frame, it'll be one of those two meetings likely where you'll see those come back and you'll be able to make your recommendations at that point to City Council.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Well, looks like that brings us to the end of our meeting. To Commissioner Lucas, thanks from the entire city. We adjourn to our next regularly scheduled Planning Commission on February 2nd at 6 p.m., which will be conducted via teleconference. And with that, we'll close the meeting. Adjourn the meeting.
Night. Farewell.
All right, folks.